Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. God brings financial healing and restoration. Jen McGeehan travels to paradise as one financially devastated couple, she and her husband. They took a flight of faith and they left the economically challenged mountains of Southern California for the unknown off-grid lifestyle of a rented yurt on the Big Island of Hawaii. What is a yurt? Well, Jen will explain what that is and how bad it really got to cause her and her husband to leave Southern California to live in the way that they lived here in the islands. It's in these financially devastating moments of life, and we all can, I believe, relate with that in one form or another, difficult times, where our relationship with Jesus Christ can be tested and can be proven. And faith can go to a whole nother level, especially when you encounter restoration and healing. And if you're going through a financially trying time right now, if you're going through a moment where you're thinking thoughts that you never thought you'd think, there's a desperation that wells up inside of you, well, know that God sends Jen McGeehan in studio today to share heart to heart with you. She wrote a book. It's called My Year in a Yurt: God's Blessings While Living in 450 Not So Square Feet. She's the author of the book, and she's going to share with us today all about it. She's a motivational speaker, sharing often in humorous tones, yet always inspiring stories of God's miraculous healing and restoration. She has a lifelong love of animals, particularly horses. She'll share about how she got her first horse at the tender age of 8. And she's an accomplished equestrian and nature enthusiast. She was able to successfully transition from life in the fast lane, to living in a yurt, and to where she is today. Jen, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, to be an author, to be a writer, first of all, congratulations on this beautiful book. The way that it's designed, the pictures inside, I know that they're very, the stories, these 38 stories, short stories, are very close to your heart. There are pictures here, even a picture of a cat on a leash. But look, where did you grow up?
Well, I am a native-born Southern Californian, and we ended up in Orange County, rural Orange County. And when I was eight, my mom and dad moved us to Yorba Linda, California. And it was extremely rural. We lived on a piece of property that had avocado orchards. And it was very safe to walk down your street, ride your bike. Lots of horses and animals in the area still at that time.
Well, Yorba Linda is, I was just close by there recently. By the way, isn't that where President Richard Nixon's library is?
Or was yes.
It, wasn't he born there or something?
Oh, don't ask me if he was born there, but yes, his library is there, definitely.
Okay, his library is there. Well, very significant location. Jen, how did you come to Hawaii?
Well, that's a very long story. In my plan of life, moving to Hawaii had never been part of it. But you know how life changes directions without your agreement sometimes. And when I met my second husband, Pat, He informed me that when he retired from his job as captain of a fire department in California, that he was going to live either on a sailboat, on a Caribbean island, somewhere with warm water. That was his goal. And was I in agreement with that? And I said, of course. I was in love. Absolutely. And through the course of traveling to the Big Island many times, taking a one-week catamaran trip in the at the Great Barrier Reef, I decided I cannot live on a sailboat. And so Hawaii was the perfect choice for us. We have friends who live on the Big Island, and it was just a great match for us.
Now, it's easy for someone listening to think they just chose to come. They visited, and they made a decision to come. I like to peel off the layers, or maybe go behind the curtain, so to speak, and see what's going on behind the scenes. What went on behind the scenes of your life at that time that really was the impetus for you coming?
Well, we went on what we called our reconnaissance trips. We took a trip every year for 4 years after we believed that God was calling us to come to the Big Island. But we had a plan, like many Americans did. We would sell our million-dollar home. We would pay off our $500,000 mortgage. We would come over here with $500,000. We would buy something, and we would be mortgage-free. And this is where we would retire. That's the way it was going to work.
Sounds like a great plan.
Yes. Life is what happens when you're making plans. And so that's the process. At one point, we decided we better put our house for sale. We lived on a one-acre piece of property in Big Bear, California, on the Southern California mountains. And so we put our house on the market for $1.1 million, and it was a dollhouse. We figured we had built it from the ground up. We figured that we'd put it on the market, in 2 weeks it would be gone, and that was it. It's not what happened.
How significant is the year 2008?
Well, for everybody who lives in America, they know that that's when we had the financial crisis and the real estate market basically collapsed. So we put our house up on the market. We figured it would still sell. And 3.5 years later, it was still for sale at half the value with no buyers in sight. Hmm. And we had already been to the islands 4 times, and on our 4th trip, my husband and I agreed that we would not be returning until our home was sold, and instead of being visitors, we would become Aina. We knew we couldn't come back anymore. There was no reason to come back until we could move here.
So what took place?
Well, there was a moment in time where Pat and I realized that we couldn't make our house payment anymore. He had had 2 back surgeries from incidents relating to his job as a firefighter. So he had 2 back surgeries, and he could no longer work. He was forced into retirement. We were concerned about our financial situation. Our credit basically was gone. We had no more credit. We decided we could not continue to keep our house in pristine condition. We couldn't paint the trim. We couldn't repair the, 200-foot driveway. We just had to stop everything. So we looked at debt consolidation. We tore up all of our credit cards. We were going to live on cash and our debit card, period. It was something I had never in my lifetime experienced. I wasn't even sure how we were going to do this. But Pat and I have a very strong faith, and we took all of this to the Lord, and we just said, whatever it takes for us, we're going to get through this, and we're going to believe that you're going to bring us through this. We made a mental decision that we were not going to file bankruptcy. We were going to pay that debt back. One way or another, God was going to show us how we could do that, because those people loaned us that money in good faith.
Jen, at the risk of being very personal on a very sensitive matter, what kind of debt are we talking about at that time when things really, really went south?
Well, when we first built the house, it was about a $300,000 nut to build the house. But then we got ourselves into some financial debt, and we would take take new mortgages out. And by the time 2008 hit, we had an interest-only mortgage of $500,000. So basically, we were renting our home. But we felt when we sold it, we would pay that all back. And so we didn't feel utterly uncomfortable with that. But then as our house continued year after year to be on the market, can you imagine having your house on the market for 3.5 years? It was unfathomable. The longest it ever took me to sell a house was 4 months. So here we are, year after year after year, getting farther and farther into debt. So we had the $500,000 interest-only mortgage, and we owed $100,000 on our credit cards. We were $600,000 in debt, and absolutely no way could we see to get out of that debt.
Jen McGeehan is a special woman indeed. It takes a certain level of courage, the absolute level of grace, to share so openly in the way that she is sharing. What's so poignant about this moment is that she is here articulating these words in clear fashion. She is intact as a person in mind, body, and spirit. Her story, as she has written it in her book, My Year in a Yurt, and we'll get to what a yurt means. Some of you might already know. You say, Danny, I know what a yurt is. But someone else might not know, and we'll have Jen share what it is. Her Year in a Yurt. My Year in a Yurt, that's her book. She talks about, look, $600,000 in debt. If you're in debt, my friend, Jen would say, I think, there's always hope in Christ. So stay with us, okay? We'll be back with more from Jen McGeehan. You don't want to miss this now. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Okay, get this down. JenMcGeehan.TateAuthor.com. jenmcginn.tateauthor.com. You say, Danny, that's kind of long. Kind of long and drawn out. I say, well, again, jenmcginn.tateauthor.com. And you say, well, okay, I'm trying to remember that. Well, here's something easier. Just go to amazon.com and type in Jen McGeehan. And you'll see a book called My Year in a Yurt. $600,000 in debt. She and her husband, you might ask, well, how are they coming to Hawaii time and again when they're going further and further in debt? It's perfect. Perfect question, because she's right here to answer it. You can find out more about this program, get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Someone would ask that, Jen. Hey, they're going into debt. You're going into debt, and you're still coming to Hawaii. How do you do that? Why do you do that? Why did you do that?
Well, when we began the whole process of coming over here on our reconnaissance trips, we weren't in such terrible debt. But as we proceeded year after year after year, and it got worse and worse and worse, we finally had the wake-up call. Everybody gets to that moment of, you know what? You can't keep this insanity going. And on our last trip, my husband and I were both in agreement. We're not coming back to Hawaii again until we can be kama'aina locals. We're not going to come as visitors. We're not going to get one more cent invested in this whole thing. We're going to wait and come when we can actually move here. And we didn't know when that was going to be.
The value of your house drops tremendously. So you're underwater. And how did you come still? You ended up coming to Hawaii. How did that happen?
Well, it was really quite remarkable. About 3.5 years into this whole thing, our house went from the $1,000,001 to $575,000, no buyers. I had connected with a gentleman by the name of John Fitzgerald. They live in Hakalau on the Big Island. I needed to find a place where I could graze my horse and goat when we did get moved over here. I had probably met him 2 years earlier, and we had actually stayed in their home on one of those reconnaissance trips. Well, we became friends, and he sent me an email one night that said, we are going to the mainland to rodeo. Would you come and take care of our 20-acre property and our horses and animals for a month in October? And I looked at our calendar, and I wrote back, I would love to do that. Pat and I would love to do that, but our daughter's getting married in October, and our son's going into the Coast Guard, so we cannot come. The good news was I CC'd my husband, and he read the email in the morning and said, Jen, let's jump into the jacuzzi and talk about this. I'm like, what is there to talk about? He said, get in the jacuzzi. We had an indoor jacuzzi. And so we hopped in, and we talked about this, and he felt that it was our lily pad to move here. Let's empty out the house, move over to Hawaii, come back part way and go to our daughter's wedding and our son going to the Coast Guard, come back to Hakalau, stay the other 2 weeks, and then move somewhere on the island. That is all we knew. And I looked at him and thought for a few minutes, and I said, I am in. Let's go. And so we contacted John again that afternoon. We said, John, we're not only going to come and take care of your property for a month, we are moving there. We don't know where we're going to live, how we're going to live. We don't know anything. We don't even know how we're going to pay for it, but we're coming. We're just going to trust the Lord. And that opened the door. That was our lily pad.
So what about the debt?
Well, at that point, we had done our debt consolidation, and we were no longer using credit cards. We were not making it any worse. Mm-hmm. We were putting as much money as we could into that credit card debt consolidation, and we stopped making our house payment. That was in August. We moved in October. As soon as we knew we were going in, we were going to move, I contacted our Hawaii realtor, Bailey Wharton, who had met with us for 4 years, showing us property. We actually went into a beautiful property, into escrow, which we lost because we couldn't buy it, of course, because our house hadn't sold. And I contacted him and I said, Bailey, we're moving in October. Do you know anything we can rent? And don't forget, we have no credit, no money. So he said, why don't you rent my yurt? Well, we had stayed on his property in Pauilo. We had rented his small Ohana unit, and we had gotten to see his yurt, which was empty. We poked our head in. But up to that point, I didn't know what a yurt was. I couldn't even spell it. But we got to see firsthand what the yurt was, and he said, the yurt will be available for you. Why don't you rent it? Now, this is a vintage North American rendition of a Mongolian tent, circular in nature, 15-foot roof, no one huge room with a bathroom located outside the yurt, down the lava rock pathway, and under the lanai, a 6x7-foot enclosed bathroom. And we were so grateful because, see, what happened was because we had developed a relationship with Bailey, he knew we were trustworthy. He didn't care about our credit. Can you make the $800 a month payment? Yes, we can. Bring your horse, bring your goats, bring your stuff, and move in. All within 24 hours. But first we had to believe the Lord that he was going to make a way for us. We didn't know about the yurt until after we told John, yes, we'll come take care of your place for a month and we're moving.
You just mentioned something that is a very fine line of faith for a person who is living the life of faith. They might call it finesse. Someone looking in might say, that is finesse. Taking the step of faith, making a commitment, and then seeing God open up doors that really were right around the corner, though you could never see it. He won't reveal it until you make a commitment, until you took that step. Someone today may be at the crossroads of turning one way, and just within them, inside, they're just ready to cave in. And it's in that caving in moment that you could also turn to the around the corner moment and see what God has. That's part of what just keeps drawing an intrigue, an engagement of what God has done in your life. But again, the debt is still invisibly hovering, right? $600,000. And these plans are unfolding, not unraveling, unfolding. What happened next?
Well, we did exactly what we said. We didn't even know how we were going to be able to afford to come over. We didn't even know how we were going to pay to bring all of our things, the small things we kept. And the horse that I had for 23 years at that point had to come with me, of course. He was like a family member. So we put our MD barn up for sale. We had a $45,000 MD barn in our backyard.
What is an MD barn?
It's a manufacturer. It's the top, one of the top manufacturers of prefabbed
MD is the brand.
Barns.
Okay.
And at the time that we built the house, and we could afford to put the barn up. So I said, Pat, let's sell the barn. Let's see if we can sell the barn to somebody. And so I put it in the paper, and actually we had one offer at full price, and it was the editor of our local paper, who was an equestrian who lived about 3 miles down the road. She came over. She said, this is the barn of my dreams. I'll give you $10,000, which was what we were asking. And she gave us the check, and I said, don't take the barn till I'm gone, because I can't stand to see it. It would hurt my heart too much. Mm-hmm. That was the money that we had to actually make the move. So we flew the horse and one of our three goats, because we couldn't afford to bring all the goats. So one horse, one goat, all of our stuff, our two cars, and our airline tickets were all paid for by the sale of the barn. And we did everything at the Hawkalau property, and then we moved into the yurt. And then it was another 7 months before our home short sold at $435,000 of the $500,000 that we owed. But because Obama had the Debt Forgiveness Act, we were forgiven the additional $70,000 and the tax liability. So of that $600,000 that we owed, $500,000 was completely wiped out after the house finally sold. And then by that time, we had actually paid off $80,000 of the additional $100,000 through our debt consolidation.
We were aggressively.
We jokingly said we could not afford to buy a postage stamp. When my dad had his stroke about, I don't know how many months into living into the yurt we were at, I had to come back to California five times in 4.5 months. My dad had to pay those airline tickets because we didn't have it. And I remember one time leaving my husband with nothing, no money, no food in the refrigerator, nothing. I said, you're just going to have to make it on your own. And so he went to the Salvation Army, and they provided avocados and bananas for him to eat. And he just by faith, we went from having everything to not even be able to buy food at that point. But you know what? He always provided. He always provided. And it was such an amazing opportunity to grow in our faith, moment by moment.
You write about this
in
your book, My Year in a Yurt. God's blessings while living in 450 not so square feet. You see, when you get the back story of what really drove the writing of this book, I think about someone today, Jen, who is just overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed beyond words. But you and your story, your sharing, God uses that to fill in the gaps of hope that they don't have. It's easy to say, someone might reflect and say, yeah, it's easy to talk about. There's always hope in Jesus. There's always hope in Jesus. It just sounds like platitudes. But when you talk about coming back, $500,000, Obamacare Act, tax forgiveness, you talk about it selling, you talk about paying down loan consolidation, debt consolidation aggressively, but then not having anything, leaving your husband knowing there's nothing. There is hope. You're here, and I want you to share more. Will you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, when we come back, more with Jen McGeehan.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
My year in a yurt unearths life-changing treasure through 38 stories that reveal the humorous yet bittersweet experiences of the Magihans as they set out on a once-in-a-lifetime journey. This story can only be attributed to the supernatural hand of God. Well, the hand of God, my friend, is there reaching out to you. Reaching out to you. Yes, in your moment right now. You might say, Danny, I don't feel so good right now. I don't look good. And, you know, if you could see me, you'd be able to tell. My hair is disheveled. My soul is racked in pieces. That's just it. The hand of God reaches out to you just like that. In the midst of your lowest and most painful moments. That's why we love Him so much. He is a God of grace. His presence there when we need Him most. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today. Jen McGeehan is the author of the book, My Year in a Yurt. I'm going to ask her to give a quick snapshot. She mentioned what a yurt is early on, that round Mongolian tent-like structure. But she lived there for a year. Jen, take us back. You and your husband, Pat, were living there. You were in the process of paying down over $500,000 of debt, and God somehow brought you to Hawaii, on the Big Island, and there you are living in a yurt. What lessons did He teach you in the process?
Well, we had come from having so much, a big home, a lot of money.
Big Bear Lake is a beautiful place.
A beautiful place to live. I loved Big Bear. But we had, you know, everything that we needed and more. And then we had very little. I had a friend of mine said, you will not last in this yurt 6 months. Because we had to also learn about off-grid living, which was water catchment, solar power, satellite communication. All of this we had to learn while we were living in the yurt. But we just embraced it. We decided that this is what God had given to us in answer to our prayer. We weren't going to question it. We were going to embrace it. And as we lived in that area, we knew that this was the area that God was actually calling us to stay in. We wanted to live off of Anton de Luz Road, this very small community, Mauka, in Pauwilo, a teeny little town nobody's ever heard of. But we just sensed in our spirit this was where God was calling us. We loved it. We lived in the middle of an ohia forest. We had an ocean view. My husband jokingly said that the view from the throne of the downstairs bathroom was the best on the island. We loved having the cattle roam the property, the wild turkeys come in and do their, we learned all about wild turkeys because we got to watch them firsthand. We became, our ohana was our neighbors because our family lived in California. So we just decided to embrace the culture, embrace our neighbors, embrace this whole concept of yurt living, which we had never in a million years thought that we would ever do. And God just blessed us every step of the way.
Your relationship as husband and wife, mm-hmm. in times of financial challenge, stress, collapse, quite often the next thing that follows is a relational collapse. Husbands and wives, you know, get at each other, and things begin to fall apart. What was it like for you and Pat?
Well, Pat and I are both A-type personalities, and that can be a challenge in a marriage. But I also knew what God, how God called us to be in marriage, and the woman is to allow her husband to lead the family. And I had to make a conscientious decision, a conscious decision, that I was going to allow my husband to lead us in this, that I was going to trust God to lead my husband to lead me. And so because I can lead myself. I mean, that's not an issue. I'm a business owner and what have you. I can make decisions for myself. But I knew that if we were going to get through this, we had to get through this together, and that I had to let God lead my husband through this. And so when he said this was a lily pad for us to move, Jen, I just received that. And when your opportunity came up, I said, what do you think? He said, let's do it. I said, let's go. If I had held back and kicked and screamed and created problems, we would not have been able to step into the amazing blessing and lessons that we have been through and how we came out on the other side.
One of the great fears that we have in life, all of us, is humiliation. Even though we try to play it off as though we're humble, we don't want to be humiliated. I mean, that's something that wells up inside of us, almost like a fear of death. Some people are willing to die than be humiliated. Did you experience humiliation in the process?
You know, I knew humiliation could be part of the equation, but I decided that if Jesus could hang on the cross and be beaten and killed that way, if he could be humiliated that way as the Son of God, then I could go through whatever he wanted me to go through in his name, in his power. So I decided that I wasn't going to be humiliated. I was going to use it as lessons, and that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And one of my life verses is Joel 2:25a, which is, God restores the days stolen by the locusts. I knew that he would bring us through. Somehow, we did not know how. I just believed it, and I received it, and I prayed it every day. I would lay in the yurt in our bed at night, and I would look up at these 42 rafters that held the big ceiling up, and I would say, Lord, I cannot see the answer. I don't know what it is, but you are the God of all creation, and you see the end from the beginning. And I believe that you will bring us out of this yurt someday, some way, and you will restore us, and we will have a home again. And that was my prayer.
A comparison and contrast. Share with us, please, about the juxtaposition, the connection between, or the relatability between, having much, much comfort there at Big Bear, your nice home, still knowing that, you know, the home value is lowering, debt is increasing. Compare that to having no equity, but no debt. Talk about, was there a sense of liberty, a greater sense of freedom? How did it feel?
Our 14 months in that rented vintage yurt, it was 16 years old, was the most amazing time of peace and contentment. Hmm. Because when we left Big Bear, we were not going to bring with us everything that represented. When we got on that airplane and we got to our little yurt, we just decided we were not dragging what was in California into Hawaii. Now, I did bring who I was. I decorated it. You know, I got 5 rooms in there tried to make it look comfortable, aesthetically pleasing. We decorated the wraparound lanai. We had our animals out in the pasture, and it was a very comfy, cozy place for us to be. People actually sleep better in the round. There's been studies done. God spoke to us. I could look out the 6-foot dome at the top of the yurt, and I could see the stars at night. And when I woke up in the morning, I could look out that dome and I could see whether or not it had rained, knowing that the rain brings the water that we need in our catchment tanks and creates all the beautiful green grass that the horse can munch on and doesn't cost us anything. There were, if you just simply opened your eyes and received what he, the amazing gift that he had given to us, how could we not be grateful?
We are, many of us, are looking for more. More. More is better. So says the unspoken mantra of our society today. But from what I'm hearing, less, less, less. Instead of more, more, more. And in fact, less is more. More contentment, more fulfillment, more appreciation, more beauty. More. You have an ability to share that lesson with us in a way that sticks. There's substance there. What would you say to someone? We've got about 30 seconds at this point. To someone who just can't stop wanting more. Just a word of encouragement to that dear one.
I don't think our life is really about what we have, what our possessions are, what our bank account looks like. The way that we can be living to the fullest is, first of all, having a very strong relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus. When we have that, He brings the abundance. Whether it's a stack of bananas that shows up in the back of your truck, or whether or not it's a supernatural deposit into your bank account, or whether it's not, or whether it's just the opportunity to hear the birds chirp. You know, we have to be open to whatever it is He is bringing us. At the moment, the attitude of gratitude, instead of saying, I need this, I want this, I have to have this. Lord, if this is where you've put me, thank you. I'm grateful.
I take that. I needed to hear that today, Jen McGeehan. And perhaps, dear one, as you've listened to Jen share, maybe you needed to hear that too. Maybe we needed to hear that, huh? When we come back, we'll talk more about the book. You know, it's one of those things where as you just talk to your guest, our guest, Jen McGeehan, she's so full of good things that God has placed inside of her. It's almost like a transformative experience within her heart and soul and her spirit that just emanates and it grabs us. I'm drawn to it like a gravitational pull. Aren't you? When we come back, she'll share more about her book, My Year in a Yurt. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook. A slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you hear someone share their story and they talk about their woes, and they are woes. There's so much woes, as we say in Hawaii. Whoa, that really is pretty deep. But then when they come out of it, you see, that's a marvel itself. Marvel in itself. And when something starts, there is an end point. I remember years ago hearing Dr. J. Vernon McGee say when he was young, he was given a chance to, you know, some of the stalwarts in his church were sharing their favorite verses, and one of them said his favorite verse is, "It came to pass." And they asked, "Why is that your favorite verse?" And the elder said, "Well, when I read in the Bible, it came to pass, I realize it didn't come to stay." And our guest today, Jen McGeehan, she knows that her $600,000 debt, it was for real, but it came to pass. It did not come to stay. A year, my year in a yurt. You can find out more at Amazon.com. Jen McGeehan, he's McGeehan. Jen McGeehan, go to Amazon.com. You can find the book there. Well, it was a year, Jen. The year ended.
Yes.
Take us full circle.
Well, as I mentioned, about partway through, our house had sold, short sale, so that debt was gone, and we had mostly paid off all the rest of the debt. My dad had a stroke, and I went back to California 5 times in 4 months because I was the eldest and I had to attend to his estate.
And dad paying because you couldn't afford to, pay for yourself going, right?
Precisely. And dad passed away in August a few years back while we were still in the yurt. I realized by that time our year was almost up, and we were in, because of an unexpected inheritance. My dad never talked about the inheritance. We realized, oh my goodness, we are now in a position to be able to buy a home. But keep in mind, we have no credit, none. So how are we going to be able to buy a home even if we have 50% to put down, you know? Well, God, you're in charge of that whole thing. In my mind, I knew that we were going to have to find a unique situation because we really didn't want to deal with the banks anymore, and because they didn't help us. The banks never helped us. So, but what happened was through Bailey, he was contacted by a gentleman who had an unbelievable, one-of-a-kind home off of Antone de Luz Road, right on the other side of the hill from the yurt, who was interested in selling his property. It had not gone on up for sale. One thing led to another. We went over there. The minute we drove onto the Ohia property, we knew that this was what God had prepared for us. And we met the owner. We told him our story. He wanted to carry half the paper. He never did a credit check on us. Because of my inheritance, we were able to put 50% down. He carried the paper. He handed us the keys. He went off to Indonesia before the paperwork was even closed. The whole sale was closed, and said, "You're in charge." And he did get wet feet partway through, and so I wrote what I felt was my literary masterpiece. And we addressed every concern this man had. He was just turning 70. And we told him he could walk away from the property and leave whatever he didn't want. He could store his artwork on the property. He could even come back and stay in the lookout tower for up to 6 months for 5 years for free. But this is what we felt God was giving to us, and we wanted to make it as easy for him as we could. And then he signed on the dotted line, and we moved in 14 months after living in the yurt. We moved into our beautiful 9 acres, 2 ponds, a peacock, an ocean view, and a home built in the round by a Maui shipbuilder that now lives on the Big Island. And we are stewards of the land. It's been blessed. It's a place of healing and restoration, and amazing things have happened since we've lived there. We're very grateful. And we could never have seen that. We could never have come up with that story, that plan. We just had to watch it unfold and trust that God was in control.
The Lord used your father, William Gordon Clay. He blessed you, even in his passing. What did your dad say when you would go up and visit? He would pay for you to come to see him in his final moments. Him knowing where you were, you and Pat, living in a yurt, having faced a financial demise. What things do you remember him saying to you?
Well, my dad loved the Hawaiian Islands, and he loved the ocean. He lived in Newport Beach, right across from the ocean for 40 years. He would have loved what God gave to us. He was very concerned about me moving to Hawaii. He didn't want me to move away, and he certainly couldn't figure out the whole yurt thing at all. But what happened after he had his stroke, God opened a door for me to be able to pray with him a prayer of confirmation. We were very concerned as to whether or not he was really going to heaven, even though he told us, I've accepted Jesus years ago. Well, God opened a door for us, for me to be able to talk with him about it over the phone and pray with him a prayer of confirmation. And after that happened, my dad's demeanor completely changed. Mm. He became like a child, soft-hearted, loving. He would cry at the drop of the hat. Wow. At one point, he told everybody in the convalescent home that I was the female version of Billy Graham, and he told them that I was going to do a Sunday service for them. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack because I'm not a pastor. I don't do that kind of thing. But anyway, we pulled it off during one of my visits. And it was a very touching time. I also had the blessing of myself, my brother and sister, and most of our family to be with my dad when he passed. And the angels came, and he went very peaceably. And the good news is I know that I will be with him again, both of my parents, in heaven someday. And that is the greatest gift that I could have been given through this whole thing. The whole thing was to know that my father and I will be together again. And my mother, and my aunt, and my grandparents. God is so good to those who love him. And he makes sure that he heals you of those things that are of a concern to you.
Jen McGinn, my year in a yurt, how did you come to write this book?
Well, that was an interesting story. I've written all my life. I was a marketing director for shopping centers and fine jewelers. So I was always writing copy for somebody else. But when we moved into the yurt, I had some friends on the mainland who were unraveling. And so I started writing encouraging emails. And from that, one of them said, "Well, you really ought to blog." And I said, "Well, if you set up my blog, I'll do it." So I did. I started blogging. And then I thought, well, if I could get 12 good stories, I could probably find a magazine that would put a series in for me. So I was on the internet searching for Christian magazines, and Tate Publishing popped up. And he said, "We love to work with new authors, and we want to talk with you." So I called them up, and within 48 hours, I had a book contract that had landed in my email box. It was that fast. And I was pinpoint on to get this book written before we left our yurt. And so I finished all the stories before we left. And then I was able to share the end of the story, which was buying our home. And also the yurt project. Yurts are being brought to into Hawaii through Habitat for Humanity now. Probably put one up in 2016 or 17. Yurts are very affordable. A form of housing on an island where 1/6 of the population is at or below poverty level. So we'll be bringing yurts to other organizations as well in Hawaii, and it's a very, very exciting opportunity.
Someone might say, and I want to give you this this opportunity in closing. It always happens to someone else. They always are able to come out of it, but I'm stuck. Jen McGinn, what would you say to that dear soul?
Well, I would say that if you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. He is the one that holds the key to the storehouse. He sees the beginning from the end. He has a plan for your life, and it's not for destruction. If you can snap yourself to him, his hip, step out in faith as he slowly unfolds the way out. Psalm 23 is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We walked through the valley, but we got to the other side. It's by faith and trust.
Jen, we have about a minute left. Could you lead in a prayer?
I'd love to.
For that dear person, for all of us, really, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us, that you came to the earth through your Son Jesus to die on the cross, to show us the way back to heaven, to tell us how much you love and adore us. Lord, for those that are out there that have not yet seen a way out of their situation, whether it be financial, physical, emotional, or spiritual, I ask you to reveal yourself to them when they pray in an immediate, tangible way. Show them what the next step is and give them the faith to step out and take that next step and to trust you that you do see the beginning from the end and you will walk them through and out of that valley. We love you, Lord. We thank you for every good and perfect thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's Jen McGeehan, the author of the book, My Year in a Yurt, God's Blessings While Living in 400 Not So Square Feet. You can get this book at Amazon.com. Again, Jen McGeehan. That's Jen, M-C-G-E-E-H-A-N, Amazon.com. Dear friend, I hope you've been encouraged. Yes, encouraged by the insights shared today from Jen. Again, go to Amazon.com and get a hold of this book. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so yourself, perhaps this is the moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation to our ministry, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Joel 2:25, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Jen McGeehan. Find out more at Amazon.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave